Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Man, good to have you on the show, man. Right now, we're gonna lead off with a little NBA. The NBA playoffs is going on right now as we speak. The Raptors are basically a little less than 8 seconds away from potentially advancing to the NBA Finals and facing the winner of the Western Conference, which is of course the defending world champion Golden State Warriors. But right now they're leading 97-94, 7.9 remaining in the fourth. And the Raptors are this close to making history, finally advancing to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, this close. Game's almost over.
Yep. So on today's show, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the current state of the Mets, Yankees, the Rangers, getting a Ranger great. You know, to return to the organization, but as a GM this time, John Davidson. And we'll also talk about WWE, the Money in the Bank review, and of course, the potential threat that All Elite Wrestling, or also known as AEW, presents to WWE. And of course, most importantly, you know, the number is 916. 7388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But yeah, let's dive into the playoffs. You know, the big news in the playoffs is that Kevin Durant has been injured, but for the Golden State Warriors, you know, they didn't skip a beat. You know, there were some people saying, oh no, you know, How are the Warriors gonna win a game without KD? If my memory serves me right, I mean, I am getting up there in age, but didn't the year that they lost the NBA Finals, didn't they win like 73 games or so the regular season?
Yeah, 73-9.
And then they choked. They had a 3-1 lead, you know, against Cavaliers, and Cavaliers, you know, came back.
Yep.
No. So that whole thought process of losing KD, you know, didn't make sense. I mean, sure, losing a player like KD 99% of the time is going to kill you as an organization, but this is the Warriors. They're built on team defense and sharing the ball. So basically what you're seeing in this postseason as of right now is them going back to vintage, you know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, basketball. You know, they're sharing the ball, and you know they're hoping for him to, you know, come back, you know, sometime maybe game three, game four of the NBA Finals. But hey, they're winning. They don't need him to come back. You know, they can rest him up. You know,
and they might have DeMarcus Cousins come back in that series also. That's another guy that might come back for them.
Exactly. So when you're a winning team and you have players that are getting up there in age, you know, it's a blessing. If you could win the games without them, it's a blessing, you know? So, I mean, when KD comes back, if he does hopefully come back, which I'm assuming he will be, you know, he'll be even more of a threat than he has ever been.
Yeah.
But he has some rust, you know, all that wear and tear. Look at LeBron James now. LeBron James got mad old when he went to Los Angeles. he got the – he ended his season with a groin injury that took him out for the rest of the season. I mean, LeBron James is always healthy. I mean, he went to like 8 straight NBA finals or something? Like,
yeah, something like that.
Like, this guy's been, you know, phenomenal, but, you know, it's going to wear and tear on your age, you know, all those playoff games, you know, he's played in.
You know, up there also, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, you know, he's, you know, LeBron, he's definitely watching this game to see who's going to be his potential teammate, whether it's Kawhi or
Kyrie, maybe.
You know, Kyrie got eliminated a few weeks ago with the Celtics. Yeah, apparently he liked a photo of, you know, someone posted a photo on Instagram of Kyrie Irving in a Laker uniform, and he liked it.
Yeah. So that's very possible they could reunite.
Yeah, that's true. And now the game, and they just scored. The Raptors, did they get fouled before the shot?
I think he got fouled before.
Yeah, the shot didn't count. Yeah, the Raptors is in the driver's seat.
Yep.
Not to mention their own.
Siakam is at the line for two free throws.
Hey, man, this is a buzz, man. In Toronto, man.
Yeah.
This is the best thing that happened to them since 93 with the Blue Jays, man.
Yeah.
Or Chris Jericho win the Undisputed title. Back in the Attitude Era. Pascal Siakam made the first free throw. The fans in Toronto are loving every moment of this. They've been waiting practically their entire lives to see this moment.
I have a friend who lives out in Toronto. I know she's probably in this chaos.
Mm-hmm. And he misses the second one, but they rebound the ball, and that will do it. They're running out the clock. They got fouled. Now it's 3.9. Still Raptors ball. Drake is hugging some cowboy. I'm guessing he's a celebrity as well. maybe a country singer. I don't know. I don't know if there's any really country singer from Canada, but
there actually is one. I forget his name, but there is one.
Oh, that must be him. That must be him.
Oh, yeah. Bucks look like they're defeated.
Who's that Bucks? Who's that Buck that remember his pants and disgust? I didn't really get a good look who it was.
Damn.
Yeah. They knocked in the first free throw. What was it? 99-94. Oh, Jeremy Lin is excited, man. He got a chance to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And Kawhi Leonard makes the second one. You know, this game is on ice, man.
Raptors are gonna do it. But this is what they got Kawhi for. They got the Kawhi for this exact situation.
Yep, they're going crazy in Toronto.
Yep.
Uh oh, the Greek freak, he's leaving, man.
I picked the Bucks to win this series because I thought they were the more talented team, but you know the Raptors played some good defense and you know they were clutch in the in the fourth quarter in this series.
Yeah. And now Kawhi Leonard could do the laugh, man. You know, he earned it. He earned it, man. He left the Spurs, a winning organization like the Spurs, to make a name for himself, you know, elsewhere. And he left Toronto Raptors, you know, to a potential championship caliber team. Like, Matt Fox, man. You would have thought that would have happened during the Vince Sanity days, but. Nah, he's doing it, man. He brought them back, man. He brought them to that legitimacy, you know. But he's gonna leave. He's gonna get to the finals earlier,
if not for LeBron James kicking him out every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had some good years where they could have gone in the finals, but yeah,
right.
I mean, with LeBron James in the West, you know, this was their year to take it all. You know, take the East.
Oh yeah.
It's like when Jordan you know, went to play baseball. He retired to play baseball. And that will do it. The Toronto Raptors are going to the NBA Finals.
Oh yeah.
The Golden State Warriors. So congratulations to the Toronto Raptors. Defeating the Bucks, who had like a 14-point lead early on this game in the third quarter. Yep. But yeah, the Raptors showed their resiliency. You know, this is their first appearance in the NBA Finals, and they're gonna try to do the impossible and prevent the Golden State Warriors from winning their third straight NBA title.
And who do you think is going to win that series?
Warriors, man. Hands down, I think Warriors is going to win.
I'm torn because, you know, I do want to root for the Raptors to beat the Warriors. But then again, Toronto, they're in another country, so I don't want to root for an American team like the Warriors. But I don't want the Warriors to three-peat, so I'm torn.
I'm torn, too. I'm like, hey, whatever's going to make – here's my thinking. It would be nice to see Toronto Raptors win it since they've never won, because I usually root for the underdog teams that never won it.
Yeah.
But in this instance, I'm kind of torn, you know, because Warriors used to be the underdog team. And then, of course, then they've got this dynasty, and they're the big dogs, you know. They're like Roman Reigns, man. They're just dominating everybody, man. So it would be interesting to see somebody else win. But I guess I'm rooting for Raptors, but what I'm really rooting for is whatever scenario is best for Durant to come to the Knicks. That's what I'm rooting for. If getting a three-peat is going to make him be like, you know, hey man, I did all I could, man. I'm just going to start my own legacy elsewhere. Then I'm for it. But if them losing, leaves a sour taste in his mouth and he's like, I'm going to come back one more year and beat them and then leave.
That's a good question. Because I can see that happening. I can see him like next year prove that, you know, he could lead them to a championship.
Yeah. Even though he has won, back-to-back on NBA Finals MVP. So.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he has nothing else to prove, but, you know, he did it already. Like, I mean, he did all he could, man. Like, you know, over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I never thought they should have. He should have went to Golden State. Obviously, he wanted to win the title, but, you know, especially the team that knocked you out, man. You know, I would have wished he had the old school mentality of, you know, be like, hey, man, you know, you guys will knock me out. I'm gonna knock you guys out. You know, but that's not how it is in the modern day NBA, man. It's like, you know, if you can't beat
them, you gotta join them.
So that's what happened. And, you know, props to him. You know, he got two titles, you know, out of it, you know. And then not to mention, same thing with LeBron. LeBron left Cleveland and got the two titles. The super team won two titles with them. So, hey, you know, I didn't like the way how they did it, but, you know, it worked out for them. So that's the most important thing for them, you know. They'll worry about their legacy down the line, you know. But, you know, congratulations to them, you know, for congratulations to, you know, of course, the Warriors going back to the NBA Finals, man, and trying to build a dynasty. They're like the first team since the Boston Celtics are from, like, what, 1959 to 66, you know, during the, Bob Cousy, Bill Russell era, you know, Red Auerbach, you know, coach teams, you know, of going back to, like, at least, what,
five straight NBA Finals?
Something like that, to that effect.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's a great accomplishment, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to do in sports these days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So props to them, you know. And, yeah, so basically I think the Warriors are going to win in six.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens.
What do you think?
It's gonna be a good series. It's gonna be a great series to watch.
So you think Warriors will win in what? Or?
Yeah, I think Warriors will probably win in 6 games.
All right, we'll
see. It's
gonna
be tough though. You know.
Mm-hmm. And another NBA news is that they moved up the free agency from July 1st midnight to July 30th 6 p.m. So they have a half hour advance to sign players. So free agency. So it's gonna be a crazy day. The last day of June. Can't wait to see that for sure.
Yeah.
You know? So let me see what else. What else is going on? Oh yes, also the Mets, man. They've they were horrible this past weekend, but they turned it around. You know, after getting swept by the Marlins, they swept the Nationals. Obviously, Nationals was predominantly everybody's pick to win the NL East. I mean, the season isn't over yet, but they're like at least 10 games under 500, and they got that four game sweep from the Mets, which I'm pretty sure they ain't feeling good about that. But but the Mets, kudos to the Mets. The Mets bounced back. You know, they won that four straight. To a team that even has a worse bullpen than they do, which is saying much. And then Detroit, the Mets and the Tigers, they went to a slugfest these last couple of days. Friday night, Mets hit 5 home runs from unlikely guys, Altier, who they just picked up. He hits his first Met home run. I'm trying to think who else homered that game. Who else? There's like a bunch of guys. Ramos homered yesterday. I lost count. And then afterwards, the series before that, their other recent acquisition, kind of think who is it I forgot who was their biggest who was their big acquisition. I can't remember who it is, but he homered in his first at bat. Oh yes, Roger Davis, that's who I was thinking of. And then today's game, unfortunately, I should say Friday night's game, they hit 5 home runs, but Syndergaard had a horrible performance, gave up 6 runs, including a home run to Cabrera. And every time he had the lead, he just kept giving it back. And the Mets and their bullpen basically, thanks to Syndergaard, he blew that game. So then Saturday afternoon, basically the league kept seesawing back and forth. And, Ramos, he hit 2 home runs earlier today. And, and then Diaz was brought into the game with, I think it was 2 outs and a person on third. They brought him in, and unfortunately Diaz gave up a bloop single, which basically, ended his undefeated streak as a closer. So now he's 12 out of 13 now. And then in the bottom of the 13th, Thomas Nito hits his third career home run, which was a walk-off, and the Mets, win the game. So all the runs, all 5 of the runs were basically attributed to their catchers. Ramos with the first 4, and of course, Nito, the light hitting Tomas Nito with the big home run to send the Mets fans happy.
Mets have been doing real well with these injuries, just like the Yankees have.
Yeah, exactly. And before I moved to the Yankees, Mets made some minor moves, which could prove, you know, could be big moves if these guys can bounce back to their old form. They signed Friday night. They signed Irvin Santana. You know, the longtime starter had a great year two years ago. He's had a bad year so far before he was released. And then of course Mets signed Matt Kemp. You know, the veteran player who started his career with the Dodgers. But he was traded with Puig in the off season to the Reds, and he didn't do too good with the Reds. So Mets is hoping they could catch lightning in the bottle with these veteran guys in Kemp and Santana, and see if these guys could turn back the clock from 2 years ago. What's your thoughts on the move?
Yeah, I mean, the Mets overall, I mean, the Mets as a team, they've impressed me during this run. You know, they're bringing up these guys to replace some of these injuries that they've had, especially that freak injury that happened to Cespedes last week. I don't know what happened to him. Injury where he on his farm.
Apparently he fell down, but allegedly he wasn't on a horse, but somehow he fell down on the ranch, and I guess messed up his ankle, even though he had heel injury. He had surgery on his heel, which was going to make him miss most of this year anyway. But now that he injured his ankle, you know, and you combine that with his heel, you know, it's a pretty heelish move, man. Now he's gone for the rest of the year, and Mets are hoping that he could somehow come back next year at the last year of his contract, because that contract has been a bust, man. As great as he was in 2015, he's the Carpo Vano of the Mets. You know, he just can't
looking like that. Yeah.
He just can't get on the field, man.
You're Colby Ellsbury. You know?
Yeah, for real. Like, for real, man. This guy is not doing the Mets any favors. But shifting to the Yankees, some people who are doing Yankees some favors is Gio Urshela. He's quite a fella. Or your boy Sanchez.
Oh yeah, the crazy.
You know, those guys, DJ LeMahieu. This guy, we've been mentioning this guy every week. Yeah, exactly. We keep mentioning this guy every week. You know.
Man.
You know, your guys, it looks like they swept the doubleheader in Kansas City.
That's what the Yankees have been doing this year, you know. That's how the Red Sox won the championship last year. They just destroyed bad teams. And last year, the Yankees had some trouble against some bad teams last year, even though they won 100 games. But, I mean, when you're a good team, you're supposed to stop on these bad teams. And this year so far, I mean, they're not letting these bad teams get a chance.
Exactly.
They swept the Orioles in those four games. They already won two games today against the Royals, so they're probably going to sweep them tomorrow. So you gotta keep these bad teams down in order to continue winning and hopefully win the division and go to the playoffs, you know?
Absolutely. You got to beat the guys who are in your schedule.
Yeah. Especially the bad teams, you know? You got to stomp on them like roaches.
Yep. Hit it right on the head.
They're red hot, you know. They're red hot right now. They're playing real well, so keep it up, you know. And
absolutely,
they're gonna get some other guys, you know. Didi's in the rehab assignment right now, so he's several weeks from coming back, and Stanton and Judge probably another month. So reinforcements will come, even though they haven't been needed so far.
Absolutely. Shifting gears. You know, kudos to the Rangers. You know, they signed a Ranger great. You know, John Davison. Obviously, you know, he played 10 years with the Rangers as a goalie from 73 and 83. The modern day Ranger fans also know him as a legendary broadcaster before he moved to being an executive.
you know, but, you know, he's back in, you know, in the Blue Shirts organization where he belongs. And hopefully he could bring them back to glory days.
Yeah. Because Rangers, so, man, they haven't had a – well, this year they didn't have a good season, right?
I don't think so. I don't think they did.
So.
But, they didn't. Islanders was the best team in town.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By far.
Yeah. Both the teams that play in the Garden. Or I shouldn't say the Garden. The Barclays Center. Or in the Islanders' case, they also played in the Nassau Coliseum.
Right.
Also, they split time during the playoffs. But yeah, the Nets and the Islanders were clearly the best teams in town that weren't, you know, the New York Yankees, basically.
Right.
Because all the teams have been in chaos. You know, the Giants with Gettleman, you know, with all those crazy trades. Of course, you know, Adam Gase, you know, basically stabbing McKegnan in the back after he hired him, you know, 4 months ago.
Right.
And then now there's rumors that Adam Gase didn't want Le'Veon Bell to be on the team. So apparently there was a rumor that he might trade him before he even play. But Gase basically denied that rumor and said that, you know, there's the rumor, that's the first he's heard of the rumor, and it's ridiculous. He's not going to trade him. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. But, shifting gears, let's talk WWE. And, of course, yeah, before we talk about the 24/7 title that debuted on Raw, yeah, let's dive into the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch it.
Me either.
And you know that's weird. You know it's that shows you how bad the product has been lately. Because they're giving us what we wanted. You know,
yep.
Becky Lynch is the dual title holder. Kofi Kingston is the champion. You know, Seth Rollins is the Universal Champion. So, I mean, theoretically, we got the people that we want to see as champions. But the way how they're doing it is just so bland. But let's just go into the to what happened at the event. The Usos, they defeated Daniel Bryan and Rowan. Wait, so that means they're the new champions?
Didn't the Usos have the titles?
No, it was Daniel Bryan and
oh, yeah, right, yeah, right.
So the Usos are the champions?
Yeah, they are the champions, yeah.
I don't think I've seen the whole... I didn't see much... I didn't see all of our SmackDown this past week.
I'm not even sure if they fought on Raw.
No. They're on SmackDown. I think they're on SmackDown. Or they're on Raw.
Okay.
They might be on Raw now because of the superstar. I think they're on Raw now because of the superstar shakeup.
Oh, right. You're right.
Yeah, that's the only news that evaded me.
Yeah.
I knew that basically Bayley won the Money in the Bank. Of course, she defeated Carmella, Dana Brooke, Ember
yep.
Moon, Mandy Rose, Naomi, Natalya, and Nikki. And Nikki Cross, which you did call.
Yep.
I do remember. I do recall last week you did say this. You did predict this was gonna happen. So props to you, Mac.
Yeah, I knew it was gonna happen.
I didn't see it coming, but you was right. And we're not done with Bayley yet. We're gonna talk about her again. Of course, you know, Rey Mysterio defeated Samoa Joe to become the new United States Champion.
I thought that match was gonna go either way.
Mhm. I think we did pick Rey Mysterio to win. I think, right?
I think so.
I'd have to look back at last week's episode to see what I said. I think I did pick Rey to win, even though it was too early for Samoa Joe to lose it. But I did think Rey was gonna win, if my memory serves me right. but I'll double check. Shane McMahon won, defeated The Miz, which I predicted, unless the feud was continuing, I mean, was ending, then Miz would have got his comeuppance. Or, well, he would have got the victory, I should say. But yeah, you thought the Miz was gonna win.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna win, but fortunately he did it.
And Tony Nese defeated Aria Davari. I think we both picked that.
Yep.
And then Becky Lynch defeated Lacey Evans. I thought Lacey Evans was gonna win it, but I was wrong. And then the predictable thing that was going to happen that you did predict, which I should have saw it coming, but I was like, nah, maybe WWE is going to try to shock us. But when it comes to WWE, just pick the most predictable thing and you'll be right. And I did it. So Charlotte Flair beat Becky Lynch because Vince McMahon couldn't handle that Becky Lynch had Charlotte's number, you know, in recent history. So Charlotte defeats Becky Lynch. But hold on, folks.
I saw that happening.
It's not over yet because Bayley exercised her money in the bank, newly won money in the bank, and cashed it in on Charlotte to become the new WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, which you did call as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew Becky Lynch was going to lose one of those titles. So.
Oh, yeah, I felt that, too.
It was going to be that title against Charlotte.
Yeah, I should have guessed that, but I was like, maybe WWE can do something, you know, give Lacey Evans a big push, you know, make her win her first title and her opportunity. I mean, it's happened before. Like, Carlito won the Universal title in his debut. Gail Kim, you know, she won the women's title in her debut match. So it's happened a few times, but yeah. I mean, actually, it wouldn't be her debut match, but it would have been her, I think, her first singles match, or at least her first singles title match for sure.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Bayley. She's the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And then, of course, we all know Roman Reigns defeated Elias. No surprise there.
Nope. Man. Oh, and by the way, looks like Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are still champions. So I think that was a non-title match at Money in the Bank.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks like they still have the titles.
Oh, okay. So why would you have a non-title match?
I don't know. That's strange.
I'm
not sure.
That's a joke. How can they have in a pay-per-view match, you don't put the title on the line? That's odd. That's really odd.
What
would Uso fighting for then? For the prestige? You know, being the Uso boys? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, what was the whole point of them fighting each other if the title wasn't on the line?
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh boy, WWE, and you wonder why AEW is hovering over you, is about to climb over you in the fandom, and you do these moves like this. Seth Rollins, you know, he defeated AJ Styles. I think I predicted that. I don't remember. You might have picked AJ Styles. I'm not sure.
I might have. I don't remember. I might have picked AJ.
See, this is what happens when you watch thousands upon thousands of hours of WWE programming since the John Cena era. You know, every episode, every week is like the same thing. You can't even remember which week it was. But I digress. Kofi Kingston defeated Kevin Owens, as I predicted, as well. I don't know if you – I think you did too.
Yeah, it's too early for Kofi to lose.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thinking of that. It's too early for Kofi to lose.
Well, I thought Kevin Owens would probably win by disqualification if Sami Zayn interfered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, yes. You did say that.
Yeah, but Kofi ended up winning, so.
Right.
He still has the title.
Oh, yeah, and you did think, Sami Zayn was going to win the Money in the Bank. But
yeah.
Nobody And I mean, nobody could have predicted who's gonna win the Money in the Bank, because this person wasn't even supposed to be in this match.
Oh man.
Well, backstage politics. Who is that person? That's the one thing offending on this build-up. Of course, the new Mr. Money in the Bank, Brock Lesnar. And of course, Brock Lesnar is back. He needed to win the Money in the Bank to get a title shot opportunity.
They just love giving him these chances.
I know. At least now they have a legit reason for him getting being the number one contender, because you know they were gonna make him the number one contender no matter what anyway. Mm-hmm. And under the old school rules, he would have earned that right. That's another rule I didn't like, that they took away the number one contendership. You know, being able to exercise the clause of you retaining your getting
like
that. You like that they took it away, or you like that it used to how it used to be?
How it used to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. But any case, Brock Lesnar, he defeats Ali, formerly known as Mustafa Ali, Baron Corbin, the guy who's the poster child of the modern day Monday Night Raw, Drew McIntyre, what's the name of that kick he does? What's the name of that? It escaped me. That move when he jumped, he does that drop kick. What the heck did they call it again? I forgot. He did it to Roman Reigns, I think on SmackDown. I forgot what they call it. Darn, I forgot the title.
Yeah,
it's not Glasgow Kiss. Glasgow Kiss is the headbutt he does. Darn, what's it called? Let me try to remember.
I'm trying to think real hard here.
I gotta try to think in my mind. I can't think. I'm thinking too hard.
I'm gonna have to look it up right now.
Yeah, that kick he does. Crap. Let me see if I can remember that kick. Well, anyway, he did that kick to Roman Reigns on SmackDown.
Claymore?
Yeah, no, Claymore. Right. There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, Brock Lesnar defeated Ali, Andrade, Brian Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Randy Orton, and Ricochet. That's basically it. You know what happened on that pay-per-view event. Some interesting stuff happened. Bayley winning the title. You know, and then I guess the shock of having Brock Lesnar competing in a Money in the Bank match, and of course winning it. That was would have been a memorable moment to see as well. But to me, the big news that happened this week was the unveiling of the 24/7 rule, the 24/7 title match. Obviously, it's a watered down version of the hardcore title from the Attitude Era. But I gotta say, I really like this 24/7 title. You know, R-Truth is really bringing more prestige to that title than Brock Lesnar did with the Universal title.
Yeah, that's true. It's like he's in disguise with the blonde wig, hiding. You know, it's funny. It is kind of like the hardcore title, except like it's not. You know, you don't have the extreme rules.
Yeah,
applied to it. You know,
or maybe it is
anywhere.
Maybe it is, but we just don't. They haven't incorporated it yet.
Well, yeah, I know you have the false count anywhere, right?
Yeah, definitely we have the false count everywhere rule.
Yeah.
Hence the 24/7, because if you were the title holder, you would just stay away from the arena, the ring. You know what I'm saying?
True.
But which would be extremely hard to do if you're a wrestler. But yeah, I really love the move. You know, I forgot who was the first title holder. Was it Titus O'Neil? I think it was Titus O'Neil.
It was Titus O'Neil, yeah.
And then Robert Roode now, instead of Bobby Roode, he won the title. And then R-Truth did the most funny, the most smartest trick he ever did, in WWE. He tricked what's his name? Bobby Roode to go into the car with him, and then the referee popped up, and then you know he got the victory. He pinned him from behind and got the victory. And now it started a funny era for WWE, man. Like, he could be the Crash Holly of the 24/7 title.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I could see it.
But yeah, I'm loving this 24/7 title.
The only thing about the title is I don't like the design of it.
Yeah, the design looks. Yeah, the design looks like a fast food restaurant menu.
Yeah, it's not good. The color, I mean, green. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Just find another color for it.
Yeah, for real.
Blue, maybe. You know, blue would have not. That wouldn't have been too bad. But green.
Yeah, they could have been a much. They could have done a much better job with that, for real.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to say?
Well, happy Memorial Day, and check out my show IMAC Saturdays at 10, only on Block Talk Radio. Come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend.
You heard the man. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, and of course check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV, and check out IMAC Max Show every Saturdays at 10. So he's McCauley Matthew. I'm William Moore, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.